Mario Kart. And we're back. Ooh, episode 91.5.
I like that. I like that remix.
Hell yeah, we're doing it. We got fun stuff ahead. We got the Lions and the 49ers, two of our better teams remaining that we haven't covered yet. I've been dying with suspense. I think we're going to go to Detroit first. So, Ryan,
sure,
take it away.
Another thing, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us. That's all I got to say, man. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug.
So the Detroit Lions, coming off of, I don't want to call it like a surprising year. I had some hopes for them last year. I didn't think they'd be good, as good as they did last year. Did you guys know Jared Goff actually finished as 10th overall quarterback last year? Surprising.
I got him for $1 in week 3 after Trey Lance broke his leg, and I went all the way to the playoffs with him.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Jared Goff would throw for over 4,000 yards? They'd have a red zone running back that just like just crushed. Like, he was
unreal.
So awesome last year. Williams was awesome. And I'm really hoping this year, you know, as we all know, they got rid of Williams. He's in New Orleans now. And they brought in David Montgomery, who, in my opinion, is going to pretty much envelop that role that Williams was used in last year. They picked up Jahmyr Gibbs in the draft. But I'm not as high on him as this year as Shane is, because I think he's just going to be more of the, the third down passing back. And I think Montgomery is going to fall into that red zone area.
Do you think that Gibbs is a good ceiling play?
It's hard to predict the ceiling, and that's why I'm just going to stay away from him, because I feel like I'll take him in a draft, but I'm not going to take him where like he's going. Like,
he's expensive. He's like late third round, early fourth. I don't blame him for not doing that. The only reason I'm in is because if you mirror his production, or if you mirror DeAndre Swift's production to Jahmyr Gibbs, granted, it's not a one for one. They're different play styles. They play different types of games. But if you put in their target values, like, he's basically ADP worth at that point. Like, he can finish like top 8. If he hits those metrics of like targets, but again, it's a ceiling play, like Tony was saying.
Yeah, like that's his best case scenario.
So let's look at
expensive.
Let's look at, before we continue on with other positions, let's just start off with quarterback. Jared Goff pretty much cemented his, you know, starting role because of last year, and maybe even for the following year. They did pick up Hendon Hooker, potential. Starting quarterback in a year or two. I don't want to call him the franchise quarterback yet.
He's 25, isn't he?
Yeah. And I honestly think that Goff is like the Christian Kirk, where he's too good to let go, but he's not good enough to win you a championship.
You mean Kirk Cousins?
Sorry, yes.
Yeah. Outside of this year, because I think Detroit's going pretty far.
All right? There we go. There we go.
All right, let's look at Goff's numbers from last year. He had almost 4,500 passing yards. That's insane for someone named Jared Goff.
Well, yeah, he's got no rushing utility.
Right, he's a pocket passer. He almost broke 30 touchdowns. He had 29. His completion percentage was 65, a little over 65%. He was better versus the zone than versus the man coverage.
Yep.
He had 71%, a little over 71% versus zone versus a little over 62% versus the man. But get this, even though he finished as quarterback 10, in terms of catchable red zone throws, there were only four other quarterbacks that had higher numbers than him. You had Mahomes at 93, you had Cousins at 81, Burrow at 72, Herbert at 69, and Jared Goff at 68.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That's a good one, Ryan.
So you know what that means this year? Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta. 7 or 8 touchdowns. I'm calling it right now. He's going to get some of those.
Wow.
So 68 catchable red zone throws on 88 red zone attempts.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Let's see how many targets Amon-Ra St. Brown got in the red zone real quick.
He was 8th in red zone target.
He was 8th? Wow. Yeah. So he's going to be killer this year too, Amon-Ra. Yeah. I've actually got Goff a slight regression. I think that might have been Goff's career year. So I've got Goff around 28 to 30 touchdowns. And, you know, I've got him still over 4,000 yards, but not close to 45. I've got him at like 41.
Okay.
Because I think the additions of these running backs is going to help out that team. They may go down to more like 60% or 58% throwing plays versus running plays.
And J-Mo suspended too, so.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and if the defense does anything, they don't need to put up 38 points a week.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure. Yeah,
Goff did hit over 4,500 yards in 2018 and 2019. He hit 4,688 and 4,638. So he can do it.
Yeah, yeah. The games that Detroit was involved in last year, too, were, on the most part, pretty high scoring. So that helped a lot, pad a lot of these numbers. So he had 54 deep ball attempts and 32 catchable deep throws. And I think Amon-Ra's going to play in a lot of that aspect this year with that as well. And Jameson Williams, once he comes back from his suspension, will probably see a lot of that flourish too.
I have some Jameson Williams stuff. So you tell me when you're going to talk Jameson, because I have some stuff I want to say.
We can talk now, but really quick. Did you know that 100% of the time last year when Jameson Williams catches a ball, it's a touchdown?
Yes.
It's free money.
Free money right there.
Well, what I wanted to bring up was that his final stats was 1 catch, 9 targets,
right.
41 yards and a touchdown, and he had a 40-yard run against the Bears. However, J-Mo also, if you'll recall, in the last game of the season, had a long touchdown called back against Green Bay on a flea flicker.
Oh, that's right.
So it could have been 2 for 10 targets for like 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. And there's another one. You can see the video of it on YouTube. He smoked Sauce Gardner. Smoked him. And the ball was so underthrown that it hit Sauce in the back while he was trying to catch up. There's like clips of like all of his targets. There was a crossing route against Chicago that also could have scored. Like, dude, I really think from what I saw, he still might be one of the most like electric football players in the league.
I sure hope so. And that might, if he becomes who we think he's going to be, that 1-2 punch with him and Amon-Ra could be electric.
Insane. Good thing I traded him away in Dynasty, dude. Shit.
Well, what'd you get for him?
So I traded away Waddle, Gibbs, and J-Mo for CeeDee Lamb, Charbonnet, and a 24 first. And I project that 24 to be like 104, 105 based on that guy's team.
I still like your side. I mean,
it's not awful. I just had too many Detroit players, and I was like definitely playing at ceiling with those guys where I was like, I need some consistency here. Where I didn't want Waddle anymore. Sure. It was a more way out of Waddle than anything.
Sure.
Well, let's just finish off Goff really quick. I think he's going to be another top 10 quarterback this year, especially with all these additions they made.
Even with a slight regression, huh?
Yeah. He's still going to get over 4,000 yards, but what may pad that top 10 stat is, I'm hoping that he gets more than 30 touchdowns.
Sure. Okay.
Because of some of those red zone numbers he has. So, with that said, would you guys do Jared Goff or Geno Smith?
I fucking knew you were going to ask me
that. it was going to be that or Kirk.
Geno.
Wow.
He's going to be throwing the ball way more often.
Yeah, but when Gibbs houses it for 84 yards on a check down, Jared Goff still gets that touchdown.
Sure, that's sure. True. All right, I will say this, Ryan, before you go. Also, Shane, are you going with Goff?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will say this. In Ryan and I's home league, our league of record, quarterbacks get 0.5 points per completion and negative 0.5 points per incompletion. I would take Goff over Geno in a league with settings like that in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, because you said last time when you covered the Seahawks that Geno was like number like 3 in interceptable passes in danger plays or whatever.
Yeah, whereas Goff doesn't do that.
All right, Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers?
Goff.
Easy. The king of the north, dude.
And Shane predicted this last one. Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins? Did I stump Tony? Oh my god.
No, because I want to say both for different reasons.
Sure.
Well, explain your reasoning.
So Goff will absolutely put up 35, 40 point games, right?
Yeah.
But the floor is lower. So Cousins is, I think, the floor play, and I think Goff is the ceiling play.
And you're not wrong in drafting either of those guys and pairing them with Anthony Richardson. So just do that.
Yeah, I think I am going Cousins.
He's more consistent. I agree with you. Because last year when I had Goff, I was like, you're not playing this week because you're playing Buffalo. You're going to shit the bed and give me 4 points. I'll pick anybody else.
And Cousins, I don't know. I'm not even gonna, my brain's broken.
All right, really quick. One thing I wanted Tony to explain to our listening audience. Jared Goff, according to Tony's numbers, had 35 danger plays. What does that mean?
So a danger play is a play that's charted as a play where a turnover could have happened.
Okay.
If you're stripped on a sack, if you fumble on a run, if you throw an interceptable pass, negative plays that are attributed to something the quarterback did that could have, even if they didn't, result in a turnover.
Okay. So when I looked at all the other quarterback numbers too, he was pretty much like in the top third for like danger plays. He wasn't the most by far. There were some guys in the 40s. He also did play all 17 games. So some of those stats based on these quarterbacks are skewed because they missed a bunch of games too. There's a smaller sample size, but
Halfway through the year, they started throwing short more often.
Okay.
Amon-Ra St. Brown's ADOT is ass.
Yeah, like the second half of the year, he threw more than 12 yards downfield, like 24% of his throws. Earlier on, it was 40%. So most of his interceptions were coming on downfield throws, and so he did it less. And then when he started doing it, the team got hot.
Sure, sure. So let's look. We'll just quickly cover David Montgomery. I mean, obviously, he was on the Bears last year. He had 201 carries last year for 801 yards, five touchdowns. Only had 3 goal line carries, though. But I think that's going to be drastically reversed this year, and he's going to be in that goal line. He's going to be in that Damian Williams role. He gets involved in the pass game, but like we said, Jahmyr Gibbs is there, who's going to be heavily involved in the pass game. And he was like, he was with the Bears last year. They're predominantly run heavy team. He had 316 yards on 34 receptions. But like I said, only three goal line carries, but he did have 34 red zone carries. So that's where it's going to come in, and he's going to take over that Damian Williams role. I have him predicted right now around 240 carries, and I think he's going to eclipse 1,000 yards. If he doesn't, he'll be really close. And I actually have him at around 10 touchdowns.
I think David Montgomery is an absolute steal in the sixth round this year.
I think he's going to be a silent killer this year in redraft, and a lot of people aren't going to be hot on him. But we'll see.
I love Monty. I fucking love Monty.
I just don't get the people who are down on him, right? Like, he's a better Jamal Williams. He catches passes.
Great runner. Yeah, great runner.
And can I just say, we've never seen David Montgomery run behind an offensive line as good as this one.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true too. Almost, 800 yards on a shitty offensive line that the Bears had last year. Oh my God,
Yeah.
So you could easily pad another 200 yards with the offensive line they have this year in Detroit.
Especially if you're projecting him. Especially if you're projecting him for an extra 30 carries. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'll let Shane chime in if he wants to say anything about Jahmyr Gibbs. But right now, I have him around maybe 140, 150 carries, mid 600s yards, and maybe 6 touchdowns. But I do have him at around 60 receptions for 450 yards, and
that's where the
2 or 3 touchdowns. Yeah,
that's all my expectation is. Like, I don't think he has to do more than that, especially when you're getting him in the 3rd or 4th round, right? He's either you're running back 3, your flex play, or you're running back 2, unless you're going 0 RB this year, which I think most of us will not be doing. The based on the way the draft boards are shaking out, is we're going to be very running back heavy.
Yes.
Just based on pricings.
I have an over under for you guys.
Okay.
DeAndre Swift averaged 10.5 touches per game last year. Does Gibbs do over or under that?
Touches and receptions.
Yep, altogether.
I could see it being 11 or 12 combined. Maybe 5 rushes and
6 passes.
Yeah, yeah.
See, if you're telling me, so I've been out on Gibbs forever, and it's because he can't run the ball up the middle, and the Lions run power at the 5th highest rate in the NFL. Like, really? Yeah. So if you're going to tell me right now that Jahmyr Gibbs gets 11 touches a game, then I'm taking him at cost. Because, my worry is that he's not going to get consistent enough touches to be a return on value. He's awesome with the ball in his hands, And so the question is going to be, how often do they use them? So,
Well, that's the thing, right? Swift was getting touches. He just couldn't stay healthy, or they didn't want him because he's quote unquote soft to the coaching staff, right? We're like, I hate to trust the boss, right? I think that's a stupid way to phrase things, but you kind of have to trust the organization that drafted this guy at 12th overall,
right?
To scheme the guy correctly, to be like, hey, I know you're elusive, but we're not going to do what we did to Alvin Kamara last year of just running him up the gut for every play.
I have this really good Warren Sharp stat that I think will answer a lot of things. I think you guys will be interested in this. The offense changed completely after they traded TJ Hockenson away. On 1st and 2nd down, the Lions had 2 tight ends on the field at the 11th highest rate in the league. All right.
Okay.
And they were 26th in EPA. So after the Hock trade, the Lions used 2 tight end sets at the 2nd lowest rate in the league, and instead they brought in a 2nd running back. After they traded TJ Hockenson, they used 2 running back sets at the 8th highest rate in the league. I think they're going to be on the field a lot at the same time.
So what you're saying is, okay, Montgomery in the fullback position, Jahmyr Gibbs in the running back position, just fucking run wild.
That'd be wild. Yeah. Nuts.
Okay. So we can talk about, let's talk about the wide receivers. We got Amon-Ra, we got Jameson Williams, we got Josh Reynolds, we got Khalif Raymond, we got Marvin Jones.
Denzel Mims.
That's right. So Amon-Ra had 106 catches last year on 146 targets. Almost 1,200 yards, 1,161, 6 touchdowns.
Hey, Ryan, last offseason, were we in on Amon-Ra St. Brown? I feel like we were.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just checking.
I have his projections. I am not conservative this year on his projections. I've got him at 155 targets on 120 receptions, but I have him for over 1,300 yards right now, about 1,350, 1,345. And I have him around 8 to 9 touchdowns.
Right. Okay. I'm glad there's a distance between us, because I'm going to kiss you right now.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact when I looked up all these red zone catches from Goff and stuff, and he's gonna benefit, which is why I also think Sam Laporta is gonna benefit from these red zone targets.
Well, I mean, like you make like the simple two brain cell connection of like Sam Laporta just plays the Hockenson role, and
right,
Amon-Ra continues to do what he does well. Where like I think Amon-Ra is gonna be very explosive in the first seven-ish games because Laporta's acclimating to the offense. There's no JMO, right? And then once those guys come back into the system, I think we're going to see a little bit of a downturn. But like, you look at his A-dot, you hit 6.4 every time. Get the dude 8 targets a game at 6.4 yards. Like, we're cracking good numbers here. And to me, that's why I want him like in the mid-second, because I feel like he has the ability to crack the top 5 of wide receivers, and you're drafting him at like wide receiver 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jameson Williams, I've got around, I've got him around 80 targets on like 50 receptions. Yeah.
That's 50 touchdowns.
I've got him around 575 yards and around 5 touchdowns. Well, his suspension is 6 games or 4?
6 games.
Okay.
6. Can I ask you guys a personal question?
Yeah.
About my home league. So we can do 2 keepers, and one of my keepers is Travis Etienne for a 15th round pick. Now this is half PPR. All
right? Right.
Would you keep Amon-Ra for a 4th or Ramondre for a 7th?
I think Ramondre is the play.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I'm going Amon-Ra if Dalvin Cook doesn't go to the Patriots. I don't know if you guys saw, but on the sports book Wednesday or Thursday, the Patriots slid into the number one place for Dalvin Cook to land at +150.
Yeah. I did see that.
Won't surprise me. I mean, Fat Lenny doesn't scare me, but like Dalvin Cook does a little bit. But I mean, like, Hunter made a good point in the Discord where, like, if you can get if you can pay a 3rd round price for a 2nd round guy, you're getting more of a return compared to buying a 7th round guy at 4th round output, right?
Because sure.
Obviously the points per game is higher. So I mean, like, if we believe, and like if we're doing our planting our flag, guys, and I'm going to plant my flag in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I'm going to say he's going to finish in a top 5 wide receiver, why wouldn't you take him in the 4th round, right? He's going to get you, right, like Ryan said, if he's going to get you 1300 yards on 155 targets.
The problem is it's half PPR. That's the only issue. If it's full PPR, it's a non question.
Oh, yeah, obviously. But I mean, like, Ramondre's value also came from receptions too, right?
Correct.
It's not like he's like a power runner where you just hand the ball off to him. We're like,
well, and maybe if they sign a Leonard Fournette or an Ezekiel Elliott, I can still get Ramondre in the 3rd.
Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, honestly, dude, I'm changing my thing to Amon-Ra. Fuck it. We're balling out, because like what's 12 catches a game? That's still 6 points.
Yeah, right.
True.
Whatever.
And then we've got Marvin Jones, Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond. Surprisingly, Josh Reynolds had almost 500 yards last year. He had 3 touchdowns. Marvin Jones even had 3 touchdowns and a little over 500 yards. Khalif Raymond even got in there 616 yards.
Garbage.
There's only one God, the Sun God.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
The rest. I'm not worried about the rest. Right.
So I ask you, Amon-Ra St. Brown or Davante Adams?
Whoa. Well, if you think he could finish top 5, you got to go Amon-Ra, right, Shane?
Yep.
Yeah.
In full PPR, I'm going Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra or DK Metcalf?
Amon-Ra, easy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even a hesitation.
And I had to put this one in there for Shane. Amon-Ra or Keenan Allen?
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra, nice. For sure.
Nice. Okay.
All right. So we got Amon-Ra or Chris Olave?
Ooh, I got to go Amon-Ra. I love Chris Olave this year. I'll probably end up with more shares of him than Amon-Ra, because Amon-Ra is going to go super high. Yeah.
So you're... Would I rather have Amon-Ra at the beginning of the 2nd or Chris Olave at the end of the 2nd, basically, yes. Right?
Right.
I'd rather have Olave at the end of the 2nd.
I think I'm there too. Sometimes he slips to the 3rd, honestly. Like, I've seen it happen, so we'll... I don't know, but I would go Olave. Yeah.
I mean, if I come back from the turn and I have Davante Adams and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you can just give me the trophy.
I did that last year. I had Justin Jefferson and Davante Adams in the same team, and I was like, y'all fucked up. This is a terrible mistake.
Peace.
So then we've got Sam Laporta. All right.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
The real purpose of the episode.
I'm big on him, not only because he's an Iowa product and he's just an all around decent, you know, tight end. He's filling in that TJ Hockenson role. Obviously, they lost him and tried to make up the fact that they have Wright and just a bunch of blocking tight ends. They needed to bring in someone that has pure, raw, athletic Michigan talent.
I can't wait for Walker on Football Absurdity to tell us how wrong we are about this. I'm so excited.
Oh, Laporta is going to feast. It's going to be great in this offense.
I love it, man. Hawk got 6 targets a game.
But why couldn't he get the fucking same thing Minnesota did, right? Like, he was getting like 9 targets a game with Minnesota. Like, he has the talent. Right. Like, yeah. That's my only fear with Laporta is they will cap him at his ceiling that is not equitable for our return in fantasy of what he should be.
Sure.
Here's my predictions for Laporta right now. I've got him around 90 targets.
Oh my God.
Got him around 90 targets.
Yes.
Around 55 to 60 receptions, almost 600 yards, and get this, six or seven touchdowns.
Dude, you just read my George Kittle stats. You logged into my Google Drive and you're like, I'm going to copy this shit. Put Sam Laporta's name right in front of it.
I have him getting 4.5 targets per game.
Okay, so what's that? That's 4.5 times 17. What is that?
Hold on, that's not the calculator. Hold on.
That's like 70 targets?
77.
Because that, after Hockenson got traded, the Lions' tight end targets were 19 for Brock Wright, 15 for Shane Zylstra, 10 for James Mitchell. That's 44 in 10 games. So yeah, but 4.4 average.
Are you going to trust any of those guys to throw to? No.
Zylstra did score 2 touchdowns in a game, though. So
yeah, that was sick.
Yeah,
true. But like, if that's his floor, if his floor is 4.5-5 targets a game, I like it.
Yeah, it's free
in redraft,
right?
Well, if we set
and
Shane,
he's gonna be super cheap in redraft too. Like, if you don't get Kelce or Andrews, like, I might take a flyer on Laporta to start
in round 18.
Yeah,
dude, I've been doing it. And I've been
stock up on all these other guys. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like, when Shane said earlier, Shane was like, they didn't draft Gibbs so high to not use him, right? Can't you say the same thing about Sam Laporta, second round pick?
But didn't they spend a first on Hockenson?
Yes.
Like, really high. Wasn't he like a top 12 pick?
Yeah. But if he gets Hockenson's like opportunity, that's perfect.
Right.
That's top 6 tight ends. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Really, really quick. Let's run through their schedule.
17-0.
I've got them up there. I feel like Detroit has a chance to make it to the NFC Championship. I won't be as bold as I said earlier, where it's going to be Detroit and Jacksonville. You know, I think I was still coming down from painkillers for my broken arm when I said that. But I mean, that's still potential.
That's true wizard hours, though. That's like when you're really pondering your orb and being like, hey,
yeah, that was February. That was February, March. We're coming off the Super Bowl. We're just getting excited about the next season. But I think they really do have a chance to make it to the NFC Championship. And I'm calling it right now that Detroit wins the NFC North this year.
Sure.
Week 1, they go to Arrowhead. I think we called that a loss when we did
the Chiefs earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then they're at Ford Field against Seattle. I think that's a win.
Yeah.
Once again, at home against the Falcons, that's a win.
Easy.
They go to Lambeau. I think that's a win. I think they take both games. They take both games against Green Bay this year. Then at home against Carolina, that's a win. Then they go down to Tampa. That's a win.
Dude, jeez. We're cooking.
Right. Then they go to Baltimore, which might be a close game, but I think that's a win as well.
I'm going to give that a loss.
Yeah, I am too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Then we go back home and play the Raiders. That's a win.
Easy. 30 points.
Then they have the bye. Then they go to LA to play the Chargers. That's going to be a shootout, I think. That might be a really awesome game.
It's a W. They're going to run fucking ramp all over us, dude. Gibbs and Monty are going to total for like 280 yards on the ground on us.
All right. All right. So we're at two losses.
Two losses so far. Then we go back to Detroit and play the Bears. I think they split with the Bears this year. I think the Bears are going to put up a good fight. So I'm going to call it a split with the Bears this year. So we'll call that one a win. And then we'll call the one at Soldier Field, we'll call that a loss.
Okay.
Then they go to Green Bay. That's a win.
Yep.
Then we go to the Superdome, play New Orleans. I'm calling that a win, I think.
That's a win.
Ryan read the script. He's leaking spoilers right now of the NFL season.
Yeah. Then we go, like I said, we go to Soldier Field. So that's, I'm going to call that a loss. So we're at what? Four. Three losses?
We're at four.
Then we play the Broncos at home. That's a win.
That's going to be a tough game. That's going to be a real good game.
Yeah. And here's where the last three games of the season get really tough because they have to play Minnesota twice and Dallas. So I'm going to call it a split with Minnesota.
Okay.
So I think they'll lose in Minnesota and win in Detroit.
Okay.
So that's weeks 16 and 18. And then in between, they have to go to Dallas to play Dallas. That will be a really good game. I'll call that a loss.
I agree.
I think I'm calling that a loss.
I agree.
So that's six losses.
It depends if Fat Mike gets fired before then, though.
I'm telling you, he's a dark horse candidate to lose his damn job.
And with six losses, that puts them at 11-6. I think that might be good enough to win the NFC North.
They're just competing with Minnesota because
those last 3 weeks are going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'd be really cool for fantasy. For DFS.
Well, and fantasy too, because those are playoff weeks.
And it's for the division.
That's true. True. Really, only week 16 is playoffs, but
right. All right, so the Lions, I like it. We all love Jared Goff. We all love Amon-Ra St. Brown. Shane's a little hotter on Jahmyr Gibbs than Ryan and I are, but we both like Gibbs. Fine. Monty at Price, awesome.
I mean, I love the talent of Gibbs. I just he's expensive. I don't like. I can't take him in the third round because with Monty there, he's not going to be the goal line guy. And when they're on the 5 yard line, the 2 yard line, they're going to give it to Monty. They're not going to give it to a guy who can't run up the middle.
Yeah. He was never the goal line guy though. Like I'm not feared about that. I'm passing work, but yeah, makes sense.
Hey guys, real quick. I'm on Russ St. Brown or CeeDee Lamb.
Ooh. I don't know. I think I'm going Lamb.
I'm going Amon-Ra, dude. Like, honestly, like I think they take a regression. Dak takes a regression this year. And they run the ball more
somehow.
they'll find somebody, dude.
Yeah. All right. So, Detroit Lions, how about it? So
that was exciting.
Hell yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. That was a really good one. So that was Walker from Football Absurdity. They're a Lions fan. So Jeff Crisco, our boss, is a 49ers fan. So let's go full Rogan and get canceled here, Shane.
I'm going to get us fucking fired. So this is the most pivotal podcast in TH Fantasy history, because if I butcher this, our resident boss is going to pull the pod. So I'm glad I'm glad you guys did trust me jumping on this grenade.
Uh-oh.
Terrific catch and run. One-on-one with Ramsey. Can't bring him down. Samuel, highlight reel, touchdown.
So as a forewarning on this analysis of the team, I did basically peg Brock Purdy to be the starting quarterback for the 2023 season for the Niners.
Sure. I think that's a fair assumption.
It sucks that they spent three first rounders on a guy who they are not going to utilize or just did not pan out for the team that the way they want to run. I told this to Tony off air. I think Kyle Shanahan doesn't want the quarterback to be the reason why they win a championship. I think he wants to be the reason why they win a championship. So he wants like the game manager to do his game plan and put that game plan into action.
Sure.
And it goes to show me too that Kyle Shanahan really wanted Mac Jones at three, but then got bullied out of making that pick because everybody clowned on him or management said, hey, we want the project player.
Right.
So unfortunately, I hope they trade Trey Lance because he's cool as hell for going to a strip club after losing to the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
But as of right now, it's Jimmy G 2.0 to lead this team. So I'll start off right at the top with free agency and the draft. So before free agency and the draft, or during free agency and before the draft, San Francisco lost two linemen, 11 defensive players, two quarterbacks, a tight end, a wide receiver, and most importantly, a kicker.
Yeah, so, Robbie Gould.
In free agency, they acquired four defensive players, two quarterbacks, one lineman, and a kicker in free agency. Then they drafted four defensive players, two tight ends, a wide receiver, and a kicker who they took in the third round.
Yeah, kicker at 99.
Wow.
So I'm not going to question Kyle Shanahan because he's a fucking wizard, right? Like, the dude is just a magician with a playbook in his hands. But some of these moves are a little head-scratching when it comes to, like, the amount of depth that they lost and the amount of talent they shed in free agency, as well as their cap space of bringing people in and their injury history of the team. So they have a really bad injury history on the team. I don't know if it's that stadium's cursed, if they just run everybody through the meat grinder or what, but in 2017, 10th most injured, 2018, 4th most injured, 2019, sixth most injured, 2020, first most injured, 2021, third most injured, 2022, ninth most injured. So even though with this injury plague, the Niners are still a divisional winning team and are always borderline on making the Super Bowl, but luck never seems to pan out their way, even with a strong coach and a powerful offense and defensive side of the ball. Outside of the depth being thinner than previous years, the Niners also have the worst negative rest day average in the league. That means they have the least amount of rest differential out of any teams. So they play four teams coming off their byes: Cleveland in week 6, Cincinnati in week 8, Jacksonville in week 10, and Arizona in week 15, three of which are on the road. There's a total of 5 games with rest disadvantage, which total up to 26 days of lost rest compared to other competition within the league. So for a team that's injury prone, not having that time frame to recover, and like George Kittle's gone on record and said, like, every time I'm in the game, I'm like, it's like I'm in a car accident.
Yep.
So I'm a little apprehensive about that just because things can fall apart so quickly. The bright side of this is they do have the 5th easiest schedule according to Warren Sharp. So hopefully they start pulling starters when they're whooping Arizona's ass 31-3. But I know I did say off air that there is a chance that if things don't go correctly, San Francisco has a top 10 pick this year just based upon the way that their depth is and who they play.
If the wheels completely fall off.
Correct, yeah. I mean, we saw last year in the NFC Championship of they don't have a quarterback. What do you do?
If you don't have a quarterback, there's nothing to do.
So I'm not. I'm going to break down Brock Purdy as the helm of the quarterback and the project as we should see him going forward. It really doesn't matter to me in simple terms because you can basically put anybody in the Kyle Shanahan system and they're going to be successful due to running his type of scheme. As Brock Purdy and Jimmy G were basically identical. So passing without pressure, Brock ranked 3rd, Jimmy ranked 4th. Passing from the pocket, Brock ranked 4th, Jimmy ranked 6th. Early downs without passing play action success, Brock ranked 2nd, Jimmy ranked number 1. First downs in the first 3 quarters, Brock ranked 4th, Jimmy ranked 8th. Layup throws, which basically mean as easy as you can get, 2 yards, whatever, Brock ranked 6th, Jimmy ranked 4th. Attempts with fewer than 2.5 seconds. Jimmy was number 2. Brock was number 6. All passes outside the red zone completion. Brock number 4. Jimmy number 5.
So they're the same. They're literally the same guy.
Yes. Yeah. You want a dude who's going to throw for 200 yards a game with 1 touchdown, 2 touchdowns? He's your guy, right?
Sure.
So the Niners are known for basically racking up yak with their talent due to scheme and the players that they have because...
Sure.
The highest completion rate in the last couple years from the scheme was Jimmy Garoppolo with number 1, Brock Purdy number 2, Garoppolo number 5, Garoppolo 1. These are in sequential years. Nick Mullins at 6, Garoppolo in 3, CJ Beathard at number 1, Nick Mullins at 13. I've never even heard of these players, so clearly they are nobodies.
You never heard of CJ Beathard?
No, I have not.
That was such a funny name last year.
It's pronounced Beathard, but Beathard is just way cooler.
Right.
So in regards to the yak ability, Shanahan's offense is designated to generate yaks. So the number one yak passing quarterbacks were Garoppolo's number one, Purdy number three, then 21, Garoppolo number one, 2020, Garoppolo number one, Nick Mullins at four, 2019, Garoppolo at one, so on and so forth. So clearly, let Debo and Ayuk and Kittle do their thing.
Yep.
So as long as you can throw the ball 7 yards in the NFL, you got a job in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a caveat to this because for Purdy's success, at least, because defenses didn't have a lot of time and tape to prepare for him. As it was later in the season, as we know, and they kind of didn't really have the ability to find out the tendencies when it mattered most, right? As well as San Francisco playing with the lead most of the time because Shanahan realized, I have to take the pressure off this guy to be put in situations where he can't fuck the game up for me. So they utilized running the ball a lot and trying to skip third downs, basically, to get big chunk plays where they wouldn't have to put the defense into cover two to neutralize the threats of the offense. So there's a very small sample size of Purdy playing from behind, and they're not really great. In those snaps, he went 16 for 25 with a 64% completion rate, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Out of 47 quarterbacks, he ranked 47th in completion rate, 41st in touchdown interception rate, 34th in success rate. Out of 47 quarterbacks, Purdy also ranked 45th in the percentage of passes thrown when trailing in the second, only behind Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, who are mobile quarterbacks.
Right. They just never trailed.
No, like when your defense is that powerful and you have Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk doing all the things, like just hold the lead for as long as you can and play ball control.
Yep. Right.
So we have this offense for Shanahan to. So we have this offseason for Shanahan to scheme new things for their covering Purdy. So we'll see how it pans out. But there are question marks for what the future holds for Purdy going forward. But pinning this around Jimmy G's performance and fantasy points seems pretty spot on for what we can expect. During his tenure in San Francisco, Jimmy G passed for around 30 attempts per game with a yard average of 8.2 in his career with a floor. So with a floor of 28 attempts per game and 3,500 yards for Purdy seems pretty reasonable to me. It's not exciting for fantasy. I don't want him as a quarterback unless I'm in a two quarterback league and he's my third quarterback, which is fine. Because over his career, Purdy has had a decline in rushing attempts in his career. Because if you look at like 2019, I think he had like 70 or 80 attempts. And then as the years progress, he just kind of become more primarily a pocket passer. I mean, I know Shanahan did do some sort of designed run plays, but that was very few and far between.
Okay, yeah.
Or in comparison to Trey Lance.
Sure.
And I do think if Trey Lance is still in town, they're going to do that weird shit like they did last year, where whenever Trey Lance touches the field, it's clearly an RPO play and they're just going with Trey Lance run up the gut.
Sure.
So if we project 480 passing attempts next year for Purdy, I think that's pretty substantial for what his ceiling could be. But like I said, in one QB leagues, it's not really exciting because Jimmy G has never finished above QB 14 on the year. And if you're playing in a 12-team league, that just sucks, right? Because you're not even cracking top 12 upside.
Yep.
So I do hope Trey Lance gets traded. He can get himself paid. And I do think there's a non-zero chance that Sam Darnold starts at least one game this year. And he'll look good because of the system. And everybody will do heinous things in Dynasty.
I mean, look, man. Brock Purdy had 12 charted interceptable passes on only 170 attempts. Like, what happens if he starts? What happens if he starts throwing interceptions?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, that's why I trust Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, I'm not going to put my fantasy weight on Brock Purdy, but I will put my weight on the weapons of Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Because they're set up to be successful. We'll go into like the receivers later, but like they're basically all the same guy. And you just have to close your eyes and pick one. That's all that matters. So we all know San Francisco is the place where we want to draft running backs because volume is king and the passing work always funnels through them as well. We know who CMC is, so I don't need to really pin down who he is or what his expected outcome is. He's good. He's the back to have in fantasy. Since Shanahan has become the coach in San Francisco, the running back room has an average of 387 touches and 87 targets per year. Granted, that does get split up across players because Shanahan likes to use a more level-headed approach of not using a complete bell cow, but when your talent is CMC, you kind of got to give them the ball 60 to 70% of the time. So the current depth chart of the running back room is CMC, Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason, and Tyrion David Price. So last year, running backs not named CMC and Elijah Mitchell accounted for 37% of the rushing attempts, which is not shit, right? That doesn't matter at all to me.
Right,
right.
Where both Mason and TDP combined for 75 attempts. So So those numbers will go up now that Jelf Wilson is gone. So the real juice to me here is CMC and Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously, like I said, CMC gets a majority of the share. Last year, CMC had a 20% target share. And even with all players coming back healthy, I do think that number stays around the same as he averaged around 5.5 targets per game when he became a 49er. So when we extrapolate that value to a full season, that's 94 targets to CMC next year.
Let's go.
And I think conservatively, if you can estimate 75 to 80, that's kind of where we might be, just based on the way the team pans out. Someone's going to get injured. Kittle's going to miss at least two games, right? They're going to have to make up for the difference.
Right. Sure.
I do believe that that value might be lower due to Shanahan shenanigans, but I am projecting around 220 touches for CMC this year, and that's kind of where I want to plant my flag for projected volume for him.
Combined touches?
Rushing attempts.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're going to combine his catches, so say he gets 65 catches and 220 touches, 280 total offensive touches.
Okay. I do have a fun CMC thing for you. Last year, if you took out all of his touchdowns, his averages were still 67 rushing yards, 43 receiving yards, and 5 catches. That's 16 points in full PPR without touchdowns, RB7 in fantasy points per game.
Wow.
Look how low the floor is, right? Like you said, and what Hunter said, if CMC plays all 17 games, he's RB2, like bare minimum.
At worst, very worst.
So right now, CMC is the third player, potentially four players, depending on how you're drafting, behind Justin Jefferson and Chase, for sure, as the RB1. And I do think this is a perfect spot to draft from this year because you kind of get your guy of whoever falls to you, right? Someone like CMC more than the other two, where they take Chase, whatever. And you have a better chance of gaining more return on investment compared to the other two of potential failure points. I know I talked in my Atlanta thing. I can see the window of Bijan becoming the running back one of this year. And to me, those are the two running backs that I would see finishing within 20 to 30 points of each other when the season's over. But if you want to draft CMC 101 again, I will not blame you.
Sure.
Yeah.
So while Elijah Mitchell does have a lower ceiling than CMC, I'm not really concerned about his role in this offense taking away from CMC's pie, as they do different things, and he's a much more inefficient of an RB who's kind of going to be used to bulldoze his way into the end zone. So that's what's going to take away from CMC's point ceiling is the touchdown share that he has to give away with Elijah Mitchell. But that offense is also touching the end zone higher than most teams, so it's not really a tremendous red flag like, say, Houston, right, where you're having to compete with one touchdown a game, essentially, where they're going to have multiple opportunities per game.
Right. It's going to upset a lot of fantasy players' days when, you know, Christian McCaffrey's in for the majority of the drive and then Shanahan pulls him out, put in the fresh legs of Mitchell, and he gets the touchdown.
Well, oh, yeah. There's a role there when Mitchell and CMC played four games together, and Mitchell had like 10 carries over those games.
Yeah, CMC's ceiling plummeted. I think it was like an average of 16 points without him, and then an average of 14 with him in the game.
Yeah,
something like that. So he does limit his ceiling, but I'm not really like upset about that, right? Like, granted, it does suck to take him at 103, and like you said, Ryan, of like those game winning weeks of like shit. Could have done with the touchdown, man. Appreciate it.
Right.
So Elijah Mitchell is currently RB41 right now between Khalil Herbert and Jerick McKinnon. And I'm not even going to ask you guys to pick because I know where we stand on that because it's Jerick McKinnon. Right.
Yeah. It's going to be the number two in passing targets, I think.
100%.
When all is said and done outside of Kelsey.
Yeah. So, honestly, I'm going to go into receiving room right now. And after going through all the data and everything, I feel like I just have to close my eyes and just point in a direction of who's going to get the most targets on this team between George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and Deebo Samuel. Because They're all really good. They all do similar things. They play all similar roles. And it's really hard to anticipate who gets 100, who gets 110, who gets 90. I'm not going to talk about Cameron Latu. He's boring and slow. So I'm only going to talk about George Kittle. So even though when George Kittle misses around 3 to 5 games a season, when he's in your lineup, he has the potential to go nuclear and win you weeks by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, George Kittle finished 10th in targets, 6th in target share, 7th in receptions, 6th in yak, but finishes tight end 3 to do his 11 touchdowns as well as his efficiency as a roster, or as a receiver, sorry. So like I said, it's really hard to predict all three, Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk, as they all kind of eat into each other's pie. But outside of Kittle's rookie year, his target share has never dipped below 19.5% on that team. So if we're conservatively estimating 450 passes, Kittle still gets 85 to 90 targets this year.
Okay.
See, I'm higher on Kittle than that because, like, I feel like when Purdy came in, everything funneled towards Kittle, right? Like, he averaged 1.1 touchdowns per game with Purdy in. Like,
that's true. But I just have no confidence in the quarterback game or whatever's going to happen with the quarterbacks this year. And that's why I'm not going to be on Kittle. I'm not going to be targeting him at all.
I do think there's a regression in him, but I don't think he finishes outside the top six, right? Like, I don't think he finishes top three again if we're going to kind of extrapolate these targets to efficiency metrics, because the touchdown regression is going to come, in my opinion. I don't think you can get 11 touchdowns again unless he becomes like the de facto end zone guy, because him and Brandon Ayuk were only within one touchdown target in the red zone across all 0 to 5 to 10 to 20. But I still think he's a good value where he's at. I'm not going to say don't draft George Kittle because he's always in, what, like the fourth or fifth round?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think that's very accurate. He'll probably be around 5 or 6.
Because he is tight end 4 per 4 for 4 around pick 501 between Madison and JSN. And I would lean Kittle personally in that circumstance because I think Madison's a trap and JSN's going to take a long time to come on.
Yeah, that's true.
So between these three, Hollywood, Kittle, or Lockett?
Hollywood, Kittle, or Lockett?
Lockett.
Yeah, I think Lockett's got one more good year in him.
Where he always proves everybody wrong.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to move on to the receivers now. So we've said it before, and we'll say it again.
I want to say before...
George Kittle's your guy. I didn't let you have the floor. I apologize.
I'm going to say this right now, and I know it's crazy. I take George Kittle over TJ Hockenson in redraft.
I believe that, honestly, because TJ Hockenson's, what, like a third rounder?
Yep.
And Jordan Addison's going to eat into his production. As soon as that draft was called, I was like, shit, dude, I got to sell my Hockenson shares because he's not getting 8 targets a game anymore. He might go down to 6.
I'm going George Kittle.
Wow. All right.
Sorry. I just needed to talk my shit.
No, I think that's completely reasonable, honestly.
In the tight end universe, I'm going to agree to disagree.
Okay. Okay.
I'll go Hockenson.
Okay. So we'll just rank them right now, right? We'll go tight end 1 is Kelsey. Tight end 2 is Manders.
Correct.
Who's tight end 3?
George Kittle.
No. Can't be 3 again. I think it's going to be Hock.
Then who's 4?
Pitts?
Maybe. That's tough, yeah.
Tight end's tricky, dude. Could be Freiermuth.
Laporta?
Yeah! All right, move on to the receivers. Receivers are fucking hard in this room, man. Debo and Ayuk are the same goddamn player.
In terms of production, like, obviously they don't play the same way.
No. Yes, but they are going to get 100 targets. They're going to get 1,000 yards. Different ways, because Debo's the yak guy. Like I said, 2021 was the ceiling. That year ruled. He got him paid. I hope he stays healthy because Debo kicks ass. He played in 14 games last year. He had 87 targets, 632 yards, which is better than most guys put up. And he also had 632 total yards. 499 of those came after the catch. So the dude just racked up yards.
Oh,
dude, I got some Debo yak stuff when you're done.
Yeah, so he averaged 12-ish yards per reception, which is really nice, even from an inflated value of 2021, which was like 18 yards per reception.
Yeah.
I believe Debo can still get a 19% target share, and I'm going to assume he's can still be a game breaker. He can see anywhere between 90 and 110 targets. You give him the ball and just let him run. So talk your Debo shit.
Listen to this shit. This is per reception perception. On catches that he was considered in space, he was only brought down by the first defender 28% of the time.
Really?
And he broke multiple tackles on over 31% of his catches.
Wow.
That's fucking sick.
The only problem with this offense to me is there's so many good pieces of the, to have of this pie, right? Like, if you take one of these guys out, right? Say Ayuk gets traded, Kittle gets hurt, whatever. Like, their value fucking skyrockets. You know what I mean? If you take one of these guys out, either one of these wide receivers is a lock for a top 12 finish. George Kittle finishes tight end 3 again, right? But there's so many... Unless they have Tom Brady, who they should have went after, can you imagine 700 pass attempts in this offense? Holy shit.
Insane. That'd be video game numbers.
This is Madden shit. We're going to rack up the score to 30 or to 60 points.
Yep.
All right, so Debo is currently wide receiver 18 per 4-for-4 right now between Amari Cooper and Keenan Allen. So, Jerry Jeudy, Christian Watson, or Debo Samuel?
Jeudy, Watson, or Samuel?
Give me Debo.
Wow. Yeah, I'll go Debo.
I think Jerry Jeudy is a landmine this year.
Jerry Jeudy is so... That's one of the storylines I'm most interested this year. How does Jerry Jeudy do?
He's going to have a great week 17 and 18. And then we're going to do the same shit next year.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am more of an Ayuk guy, even though I still do really like Debo, because Debo's a dog. I've watched Ayuk since he came into the NFL. That was like the first times I watched football. And I did riot when he was in Shanahan's doghouse, because I knew he was that dog and he could show out when Debo was gone. And he did that in 2022 as well. So he hit career high metrics last year in all areas. And the only reason why his ascension is going to be plateaued going further is due to so many mouths to feed in that offense. There's only so many targets. I wish Brady was there. So someone is going to have to take the short on the stick. And honestly, I feel bad not giving analysis on this team more into the receiving room, but it's like, they're all just so damn good. I feel like we just have to pick a guy at ADP and hope for the best. It feels like last year in 2021 when it was like Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp, but in a different circumstance where I think both these guys can hit that ceiling.
Sure.
So again,
you're not going to be disappointed with either of them at cost.
Ayuk is cheaper though. Ayuk is wide receiver 28 in 4-for-4. Between Christian Kirk and Deontay. So DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, or Hollywood Brown?
I'll go Ayuk.
I think DJ Moore's the ceiling play there.
Because Ayuk's in the sixth-ish round. Like I'm not upset at him as my flex play, right? I know I did sell him in Dynasty 2 weeks ago, but that was a 10-teamer, so it was easier to let go of a flex player compared to a 12-teamer, right? But he's fine. He's fine at where he's at his value, and I like I said, I'm not upset with 12 points on average a week, right?
Brandon Ayuk is the route runner that y'all want Jerry Jeudy to be.
That's a good assessment.
Like, his separation shit is outstanding. His success rates, this is another reception perception thing, his success rate versus zone is like getting better, but not where the best, but he is an elite separator against man and press coverage. So like, the way they chart their data, his closest comparable players are young Terry McLaurin and young AJ Brown. Like, he's really good, and they don't get him the ball as frequently as they should. And so I read all this stuff about Ayuk, and I started trying to watch as much Ayuk stuff as I could. As an actual receiver, this guy is in the top 10 discussion.
Really?
As an athlete, as a wide receiver, yes, absolutely.
And it sucks because, like, I would love for him to be in San Francisco forever, but they can't pay everybody. And I think he's going to be the one who has to go. because they can't pay him what he's worth.
Someone will trade for Brandon Ayuk.
But I think in the long run too, that's only going to be beneficial to Ayuk because he'll go somewhere where they'll utilize him. You know,
it helps everybody in this offense. Unfortunately, it's addition by subtraction again. Giving more
or Shanahan says fuck it, pays a quarterback like next year. If they flame out again this year, like, and I'm not saying they're going to, Jeff.
Pays a quarterback. You mean like a free agent?
Or they acquire Kyler or
okay,
like something. Like, I can see them pushing, obviously. Like,
they have a limited window.
And
they're competitive, but they have a window.
Let me just give you an example. Let's just say hypothetically, if Jared Goff was the quarterback of the 49ers, do they go to the NFC championship game? Are they a lock for that?
I think they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they got a good chance. I think that champion. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's no reason why they shouldn't push their chips in. I don't understand it. I'm not like a 49ers fan, so I don't know what the thought process is, but it's like you have this team that's super thin, but also very closely one step away from doing the damn thing. Take it. Yeah.
I get to the finish line every year.
That's true.
So I hope, like you said, Crisco chimes in on this. If you don't ever hear from me, he hired BlackRock to turn me into a fine red paste. So I hope I did the 49ers justice. CMC's still RB1 to me. If he falls into your lap at 103, clap like a seal. Kittle is appropriately priced for where he's at ADP wise, but I do expect regression and a probable tight end 6 finish compared to tight end 3. And I'd rather have Ayuk over Debo at price, but you should still draft both of them.
Sure.
When does the sun set on the 49ers season this year? Are they in the NFC Championship? Do they go to the Super Bowl?
We can go through their schedule right now if you want.
Let's do it.
So first game, they're in Pittsburgh.
Easy dub.
Yeah, I think that's a win.
Okay. At the Rams.
Easy win.
Win.
Two. Then Giants come to them.
I think that's a loss.
Ooh, whoa.
I think that's a loss. Giants are going to surprise a lot of people this year.
I think it's a win, but I'll give you the loss. I'll mark it 0.
It's when Trey Lance gets put in.
You said it's at Levi Stadium?
Correct.
I'm still going win. Okay. Or sorry, I'm just going loss first.
All right. So they're at one loss. The Cardinals come to them. Bye week.
Yeah, might as well.
Cowboys in Levi Stadium.
Oh.
Loss. I'm calling a loss.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll go with you.
Okay, then they go to Cleveland to play the Browns.
Win.
Yeah, win.
Okay, then they go to Minnesota.
Ooh.
I think that's a win.
In Minnesota?
In Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe with their defense to shut them down. Okay, I'll call it a win.
It's a win.
Next one, Bengals come to Levi Stadium.
Oh,
I think that's a loss.
They did improve their secondary because I think their secondary was like number 3 in giving up 20-yard plays last year.
Yeah, they were behind like all the glitz and glamour. They were secretly a team we were picking on in DFS last year.
All right, next they go to Jacksonville.
Ooh, that's a loss. That's a loss.
I'm with you. We're at 4 losses.
Buccaneers come to Levi Stadium.
Win.
That's, I don't even think Buccaneers get a field goal.
Okay, Seahawks. They're in Seattle.
In Seattle. Ooh, NFC West match rivalry.
I think they split this year.
Okay, so that's a loss. So we're at 5 losses.
5. Then they go to Philly.
Ooh, that's a loss.
Wow, 6 losses.
Then they play Seattle in San Francisco. So we'll give them the win.
That's okay. A win.
Okay, they play the Cardinals again in Phoenix.
Easy win.
Can they beat
the Cardinals 3 times?
The only way they lose this game is if the wheels have fallen off and the management of the Cardinals fucks up 101, right?
Right.
That's true.
Sure.
That's true. We're in the middle of the season now. Or, all this shit could go wrong.
Yeah. Or Kyler's back because it's week 14. 14, 15, 16, 17.
It's still a win, even if it's yeah. Kyler.
Okay, then they go to Baltimore. I think that's a loss.
Really? They're in Baltimore? They're yeah, in I'll Baltimore. Give
it. Oh, no, no, sorry. Give... They're sorry, Levi Stadium.
Ooh.
On Christmas.
On Christmas. Ooh. I think I'm going to give Frisco the win.
I'm going to give him the win, too.
Okay, so we're still at six. And they play the Commies in Washington.
Easy win.
That's a win.
Then the Rams come to them. Final game.
Loss. All right, sorry. Rams are going to lose. Sorry.
Matt Stafford's back. All right, so that's the six losses. Potentially seven.
11 and six? I mean, that's enough to win the division.
10 and 7 or 11 and 6. That's a good estimation.
What'd you have Seattle at, Tony? 9?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Seattle's going to be better for fantasy than in real life.
That's true. They're probably going to be playing behind a lot.
Yeah, I'd say so. So that was fun, guys.
Damn it. I fell for the bit. I didn't have it up. Fuck.
Okay, so let's check and see what we're doing next week. I'm dying to know. Ryan, do you have any leads on who you're going to do?
I think I'm rolling with the Jets.
All right. Hard knock style. Because you're between the Jets and the Jags. Those are your last two.
Yeah, I'm saving Jags for last.
Okay, so you're going to go the Jets. Shane is between Carolina, the Rams, the Titans.
I think that now that D-Hop has signed his paperwork, I think we're going to the Midwest, middle of the Southwest. Where's Tennessee on the map? Just the middle.
Tennessee is it's not technically the Midwest, but it's not technically the South. It's like
all right
in between.
They're just the mid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Middle America. Okay.
So we got the Titans. We got the Jets. Ooh. You know what? I am going to go with Buffalo. I'm going to do the Bills.
Awesome.
There we go. Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun. We'll look forward to it. And we'll have our 92s. I got some crazy 92s, y'all. It's going to be insane.
Nice.
All right. Well, until next week, thanks for coming out and being cool. We were at a party a couple weeks ago, and someone that me and Ryan went to college with laughed at us because my mom listens to my podcast, and I'm proud that my mom listens to my podcast. So fuck that guy.
Fuck yeah, that right? guy, loser.
Yes, who cares?
You wish your mom listened to your podcast.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Your mom listens to my podcast.
That's right. We should get that on our shirt.
Yeah, right.
All right, y'all. To everyone except that guy, have a great night.
Peace.
Peace.
Bring it.
Go back to SoundCloud.